irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have just one brother today. Only one.
Why do you say so sad?
Because I like when both of you guys are here. Oh, okay. I think we're a stronger unit with the
like
three.
I'm the bad one.
No. I would be doing the same thing. Who do I have with me?
It's me.
Yeah, introduce yourself, man. That's your cue.
Tara.
All right, I got Tara with me. So Taj has had to do something. Should we tell you what it is?
Yeah, doesn't matter. I don't care.
No, we'll let him just...
No, you can't do that now.
Well, all right, well, he wanted to get more prepared for the show. That's all I'm going to say. He wanted to get more prepared for our upcoming show in Holland, which we leave tomorrow for. Super excited. I know you are, Terrell, mm-hmm. as well. It's always fun performing in front of our great fans.
Yeah.
But today and right now we are doing a Power of Love show, and we are live on it. So if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. We will be opening up phone calls for sure at 323-203-0815. Make sure you call in. I think this is going to be a great topic for many of you. You can always also reach out to Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at DDJ Foundation. Although our Twitter guy, Taj, isn't here, I'm going to be doing the best I can to look at Twitter and see if we have any interesting comments, questions, anything.
Tita, do you like social media?
How are
you with it?
I'm okay, Taro.
It's a lot to me.
It is.
It's a lot.
It is, man. And you know, for me, I have all these different things going on, so I have to try to keep it active on many different handles.
It's
hard, and it. But you know what? It's an important part, I think, of what we do. Mm-hmm. You know. It helps, especially in today's world. You know, back in the 80s and 70s when our parents and uncles were doing it, that was part of the mystique, was staying away and you know, they had their own little lives.
It just seems like it's so much to do when you don't have a lot to do.
It's time consuming. And you know what's interesting for the kids? It's like part of them. So it's not even time consuming. They just do it.
Yeah.
But for us, it's like
you have to stop.
You have to learn it. Yeah, you want to real quick talk about your fiasco at rehearsal today?
It's the second time it's happened.
No, yeah, what happened?
I went live.
Yeah, you Terrell by accident.
No idea. I wasn't even on the app.
So what happened? You got a text from a friend.
My friend
notifying
my friend in Dallas told me that. Do you know you are live? I'm like, so I thought that was a typo.
Yeah,
or something like that. And then I said, live. He said, do you know you are live? So I'm like, what is he talking about? And then I guess I was...
How do you go live on Instagram without even knowing...
I have no idea.
You must have been on the site.
No, I was...
You had to be.
Probably in my pocket. It was the second time it's done something like that.
And the sad thing is, earlier in the rehearsal, you called me. I said,
I did call you. You said I called someone.
And it ended up being me. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's...
I still need to have a phone. You have a lock on it too.
Well, you got to figure that out, man.
Okay,
yeah, let me do the. Yeah, that happened. So that's the social media topic for us. But let me do a disclaimer real quick. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. We like to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through, saying that if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. I already gave you the Twitter handle, and I'll just give you the rest of the handles. Facebook is just DD Jackson Foundation. Instagram is at DD Jackson Foundation. Everything spelled out, DEE Jackson Foundation. So if you're not following us there, make sure you follow us, because we post a lot of things that will help you become better, a better person. I'll flat out say it'll help you become a better person, because it helps you deal with grieving things and see the brighter, because we're all about healing, all about helping people here at DDJF, and following our social handles is very important for that, because the world is so negative driven and so so many issues going on in the world that I think we also have to learn how to handle that, and that's what we're trying to do at DDJF.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Yep. So, Terrell, I knew it would just be you and I. Tosh told us yesterday at rehearsal he wasn't going to be able to make today's show. So I was thinking of topics to do. And I think a topic that will be not only easy for us. I don't appreciate how my computer literally just restarted.
Well, real quick, I want to give a shout out because we had a big meeting on Sunday.
I don't even...
DJF.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I'll give a quick shout out to our board.
Please.
We got a lot of good things coming. We reviewed some of the stuff we've done in the past, just like the music therapies and the events we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of good things coming up. We're really excited about that. And just wanted to give a shout out quickly to our
to board. The board.
Yeah.
Good call, Terrell. And you know what else is, again, shout out to all the listeners and everyone who supported us along the way. And for anyone who's new listening, all your support would be greatly appreciated. We're growing. We're doing things better and bigger and bigger and better, and it feels good because it's really helping people. So it's really cool. All right, so Terrell, I was thinking what kind of a topic I could do with you, and it's back to school time. It's end of August.
Your girls started
today.
Today, right?
They started today. So, and your boys start next week, right?
We get back on Sunday and they start Monday.
So, what I thought about was, first of all, being a parent isn't difficult. It's difficult, I'm sorry. It's incredibly rewarding, but it's incredibly difficult. It's not easy. Challenging. Good word. It's challenging, you know? And, you and I are parents, Terrell, so we go in there and, like, rehearsal the last several days. There's times where, although you want to be completely plugged in, you're thinking about other things. And Taj, I don't think he's thinking about other things, of course, but I think when you're a parent, it's a bit different.
Yes.
You know, because I think, and I've done a little research on it since last night, we put so much pressure on us as parents. You know, we want to make sure we're the best we can for our little ones. And the problem is, I mean, obviously it's a good thing because we care, but the problem is it could start really bogging down your day.
Yeah. Well, I think parenting has got to be like the most important job you can have.
It is. It is. And it's not easy. It's not easy. So, because there's theories. There's parents out there that feel that their happiness, a parent's happiness, is pretty much completely derived, at least primarily, from their children. Mm-hmm. If their children are happy, the parents are usually happy. And their children are just depressed or in a bad state, it can linger on to us. So that's what we wanted to talk about today, is pretty much how to get a hold of yourself as a parent, how to, I don't want to say overcome, but how to navigate. I love that change. How to navigate being a parent. What are you supposed to do when it's a tough time, when the normal routine of parenting with schooling and bullying and new teachers and new everything, new clothes, budgeting. How do you deal with all that, and how do you not let it overcome you?
I think when you're a parent, there's nothing you love more than your children.
Yeah,
and
for sure,
it's human nature to get better. You're always going to look back, and whether it's music, it's like, you look back 5 years and it's like, my production got better, or I can sing better, or whatever it may be. It's the same thing I feel with parenting. You're going to look back and feel like, oh, maybe I could have did this better, or maybe I could have done that better. And I think what's so hard is you love your kids so much, you want the best for them, obviously. You at the time, you make the best choices and decisions you feel for them. And you look back, you know the response, the decisions you make can change the whole course of their life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an added pressure that's there automatically. There's nothing you can do to avoid that, because you're always going to want to make that best decision. And you're going to look back and say, oh, that was a good one, that was a bad one.
Now, truthfully, mm-hmm. how are you? And I will tell you how
I am. As far as what?
How are you dealing with stressors of parenting? Like, when you're... And there's a many different ways that the stresses can hit. We could be like...
It's hard.
Okay.
It's hard. But yesterday, I was proud because I have so much... I feel I have so much on my plate right now, especially leaving. We leave tomorrow. Especially leaving tomorrow, and I have so much to do before we leave.
Yeah.
And I was at the hotel with the boys because we're not staying at home still. I was at the hotel, and I had so much to do. And I was going to work on some music stuff for the show and this, that, and the other. And, you know, I started thinking, it's like, I knew today was going to fly because we have rehearsals and then the show and all these other things I have to do. I knew it was going to fly. So I was like, you know what? I just stopped, and I took my boys down to the pool, and I have my GoPro.
Oh.
And I've never done this with the GoPro, but I know you can. I know you can go underwater.
So you did it.
So we took the GoPro, and they loved it. And I just...
So you unplugged.
I unplugged, and I enjoyed my time with my boys.
That's great.
And I thought, you know, looking back, that's something I will remember more so than whatever it was I had to do. Because I'll figure that out. You know what I mean? But for me, my boys and the time we had and the memories that we'll always have from that, because they it was fun. I filmed as well. It's pretty cool. Have you ever done that?
I have.
It's pretty fun.
It's been a while, but I have.
Yeah, GoPros so we just cool. we just did that. And you know, obviously I'm going to be leaving tomorrow, so they're not going to see me for a few days. It'll go quick. But at the same time, you know.
Let me ask you another question. When you're... I'm going to start here. When you're really upset at one of your children, mm-hmm. how does that affect you as a parent?
When I'm really upset?
Yeah.
In what way?
Just upset. If
Bryce on baseball field?
Yeah, not school, a character thing, a bad decision, baseball. If think of one of the kids, how are you in general? Are you where you want to be? You could be vague. Because
Am I how I want to be?
Yeah. Like, do you handle it the way... Do you think you have a pretty good grip on how you handle the stresses of being a parent?
Yes and no. It's hard because there's certain things, like with Brianna, because I grew up with you guys, so I understand the whole brother thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand... I'm a man, mm-hmm. boy, whatever. So I understand how boys are and how they think. Bree doesn't have any siblings, and Bree's a girl.
Yes,
so it's completely different. So there's certain things that they do that Bree doesn't get. It's too much.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm like, Bree, they're just the brother. What do you want them to do? You know?
Yeah.
So I understand that side. You know? So it's both things. And then there's other things where it's like, I know where it's heading. So I try to prevent it. And then it doesn't happen. And then it's like too late.
So
remember back in the day, Bryce used to fall and just would look around and look for that, like, pick me up on the basketball court.
Yeah.
And I would always tell him to get up, but Bree was like, oh, my baby fell, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But now it's like, it's almost like a routine now. So now it's more frustrating because I knew when it started.
Right.
I knew this would be a problem. I knew he was fine. He's fine.
He's you know, eating
it's
like
it up,
though.
It's a baseball thing, you know? Like, if he gets hit in the shin, it's like, he's fine, but they don't know. So it's stuff like that.
Right. That's a
good
point.
But he eats it up. And that's another thing. Sometimes I'm upset with him, but at the other times I'm like, this guy's pretty good at acting.
So you give him a little props.
He's actually at an audition right now.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's cool.
They like that stuff.
But so,
yeah, he, you know?
Yeah,
that's
so.
That's where I go both ways with it.
Yeah,
but I always do try to handle it the right way, obviously.
But does it linger
but I don't
know
with if you? I do. Not that bad.
And if it doesn't linger with you when you're upset at a child, what's your advice for not letting it linger?
Well, the thing, see, Bryce is very similar to me.
Okay.
But I know all the tricks. So a lot of times when he's like really upset and all that, I'm like, dude, you can't fool me. And I'm looking at him, he starts to smile.
So
I'm like, look,
you can
fool your mom all you want. You ain't fooling me with this
right.
one. And he knows that, you know, because he does. He's really good. He's a great actor.
But you've
but
been there.
But I tell him, I was like, Bryce, come on, man. I know you're not fooling me. And he gives you that smile. So I'm like, you can't do that. Or you got to do it like this or blah, 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 you know. But I like to think I'm a good father.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And a cool one, you know. But at the same time, I got to make it so I got to be his friend, but I also got to be his father.
Right.
And he's got to know he's got to know at all times I'm his father.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So, and for me, it's tough because I'm, as you said, I think as you get older, you become a better parent, you know, as long as you're trying to be a good parent. And I got so many kids that it's pretty much all the time where one's messed up or in my head or not doing something I feel they should. So it's like an ongoing thing. And I've consciously been trying to make sure it doesn't negatively affect my life.
Right.
Because I'm very big on, and that may have been come off a little selfish, but I'm very big on, to be a great parent, you have to be the best version of yourself. So if you let something beat you down or chew you down or make you a weaker person, then it's going to affect every area of your life, including parenting, of course. So it's tough, though.
Now, how are you with your way versus understanding other people's way?
I'm good. Because I think every parent has to do their own thing. You have to be authentic in your parenting style.
Not as far as parenting.
Okay.
Let's say, if this is the way you would have done it, you know, growing up, this is how you would do it. Are you open-minded enough for if Royal or any of your other children, they do it differently?
As long as the core values are there, they can do whatever they want. I'm still values. Big on respect.
Yeah, of course.
Effort, ethic, giving back, being respect, polite, manners. As long as that's done, you can do whatever you want. Right. I mean, in a sense. You know what I mean? You got to have that stuff. But like I said, though, everyone, they're not robots. We all made mistakes. We all make, do screw-ups. Yeah. So the challenge becomes when they screw up, how do you make sure it doesn't eat up your life and you still teach them the proper way?
Because they're all different.
They are all different.
They are all different. Everyone's different.
So we're talking about the pressures of being a parent. And the truth of the matter is the pressure of being a great parent, if you put a lot of pressure on yourself, it can get so great that it can create stress that not only is tough for you to overcome or get through and can affect your life, but it actually can contribute. There's been studies that it can contribute to mental disorders for moms and dads. And there is actually an article that was pretty strong, basically saying that it's called The Better Mother, How Intense Parenting Leads to Depression. Basically saying the parent that actually is so plugged into being the best parent possible actually has a higher chance of being depressed.
Right, which probably makes them one of the worst parents.
Which makes it...
worse.
Yeah, but it has a negative effect. They're not planning for.
They're not at their best.
And it's tough because I can kind of relate to this, because if you want to be the best parent ever, it's kind of like anything. You want to be the best performer. You want to be the best player on your team. The stakes are raised. Mm-hmm. So when there's a mistake or an issue or anything, even, if your son... you didn't get the best teacher in the grade. You got the weaker teacher, the new teacher. That disrupts your goal of being the best parent, because now they're not getting the best quote-unquote education. And how do you control that so it doesn't lead to anything, depression, or which can obviously lead to serious illness, mental illness, physical illness, I think, even, So... I just think it's very important as parents to get a hold of that and to figure out a way to still be the best parent you can, but to put things in perspective and to make sure you're breathing and getting time for release, making sure you get, because parenting's hard. So that's today's show. We're going to talk about that. Even if you're not a parent, you can call in. I was about to say any parents call in, but even if you're not a parent, if you've seen, you have an older brother or sister, or even as a kid, what you've noticed when you've messed up, how your parents handle it, and what it did for you, this is a free we all have to talk about parenting and family, even if you're not a parent. So we're going to open up the phone lines. You cool with that?
Sure.
The phone number, do you have it? You can read it out there, all right?
The phone number is 323-203-0815. Again, that is 323-203-0815.
Cool.
Now, I have a question.
Yes, please.
obviously you have Roy, he's the older one. And I always look at Bryce and Adrian, and I look at those stages because I'm behind you, but I'm going through those things.
Yeah.
Question, because we were talking about Royal. What was it, like 2 days ago? He's a senior. And correct. We're talking about college.
Yes.
As a parent, does that put any pressure on you as far as, you know, making sure he's going to, if he wants to, not just Royal, but anyone, if they want to go to college, if they go to the college that they want to go to, if they get into all that, if they get into the college, do you feel responsibility on that? Like, do you feel like that's on you? Like, how good of a job? Like, if he gets into the college that he wants, or if he has a desire to go to college or whatever, do you feel like you played a big role in that? And is this part, like, this point right now, because it's college time, are you feeling the pressure?
Okay, good question. Great question, actually. So I don't put pressure on myself. I feel in every aspect of all my kids, I play a role in it, some more than others. What Royal wants to be, I mean, his passion's astronomy.
Astronomy.
And that obviously is not my passion. So I obviously don't play any role in that. But my thing is, all kids are different. You said it right. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some of my kids that are very driven, that, you know, taking my reading and messaging and everything and taking it verbatim and no. And there's some that aren't.
Got the remix.
They got the remix. So, but, you know, you still obviously have to love each yeah. and every one of them. As far as, like, would I be disappointed? The only thing I'd be disappointed. First of all.
Like, are you feeling pressure right now?
Not really. No, because I'm also one of the. Okay,
for instance. And how much do you feel like is on him? Like, great how question. Much. Like, I didn't take the test, it was on him.
I'm one of those guys, Cher, where everything happens for a reason. Okay. And I think long term. So nothing that happens to him within the next couple of years, you know, will make or break him. Right. You know, unless he That's makes incredibly dumb decisions doing hard drugs and things like mm-hmm. that, which I'm on him about. Mm-hmm. And that I don't play with. But everything else, I try to make sure he reaps what he sows.
Right.
You know, because I think that's the best way to live as a kid. I think that the sooner you can learn that your actions have repercussions and have results, the better they are. Now, I'll say this, because I'm actually reading a book on this, and I've been reading a lot of it, and it's very much, it's basically, and I'm looking for the book title, because I like to say the exact title, but I'm not finding it right now. But it's basically saying that in today's society, we're coddling our kids. We're doing too much for them, which adds to the pressure. We're doing way too much. You know, even in college, after college, we're assigning what classes they can take. We're assigning their schedule. We're assigning where they're living at college, even at the college level.
So basically, they're saying parents are too involved.
Exactly. It's too exactly, involved. And I'm so mad that I can't find the exact location, because I literally was reading it this morning and last night, so it should be on my Kindle app, but it's not in the first page. But that's exactly right.
So are they saying they're too involved because they need to allow the child to grow?
Yeah,
is it because the child's being lazy and now they're doing it for them?
We're not allowing our kids to grow properly. We're getting them too reliant on us, to the point where, I got some adult children here in California. It's not easy. You know, it was hard to be, it's hard to be an adult children nowadays, but in California to get on your feet where rents and the prices of homes are so ridiculous, it's not easy. So
no, it's not.
I just want to see effort in a sense. I want to see an attempt, you know what I mean? And I want to see growth. And that's pretty much what I preach to the kids, you know, and I don't get too much stressed out about it too much, because like I said, it's their life. They know right from wrong. They making decisions. They know my opinion. They know I'm always going to be there. They know how I feel on certain things, and it's their life. It's not me doing it, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm going to talk real quick about the school, because I think that's a big thing, especially with school coming up. I'm big on education. Mm-hmm. I want Royal to go to the best school he can get into, but at the same time, he's got to feel comfortable. There's no sense him going to a great school where he's miserable, you know, and then I lose my son because of a year or of miserableness where he does dumb things. Because, like I said, the decision to me is the most important thing. We're going to take a phone call, though.
Okay.
Cool. Who do we have? Oh, I lost it. Jeez, I think I may have hung up on that phone call. But the phones have been ringing, so we'll get another one. My fault. I got a little excited. I'm trying to find this title, this book, but I'll figure it out before the end of the show. And I'll because it actually Royals, a couple of Royals teachers. What I like to do when I go to a school and there's mm-hmm. a teacher that I respect, and I like the way they speak, I like the way they think, I like to ask them, you know, do they read? And most of the time they do say they read. And I like to ask them, what books are they reading? And two in times in a row, on different occasions, teacher said this one book. So I'll get that book to you, but that was the book. It's talking about how we as parents nowadays we're overdoing it. We're doing too much. And to lead back to the topic, it's probably putting more pressure on us. You know,
on us,
yeah, because we're doing too much. We're not even living our own life. Our own lives aren't the priority, you know. And I'm not saying our own life should be the priority, but it's got to be closer to you know, even than it should be. You know, I believe you should put your kids first. I'm not saying mm-hmm. that, but you got to matter somewhat in this.
Right, and that's what the scary thing is, especially in this day and age, technology. It's so much easier now, and I often wonder, you know, because people don't write the way they used to do. It's all computer typing,
yeah,
or you know, on their iPhones or whatever they have. It's scary,
yeah.
You know, that there's autocorrect. I remember back in my time, I used to write a paragraph and I used to have to check it. Like I used to have to sit there and check, you know, to make sure I didn't misspell any words, and I'd have to open up the dictionary, I'd have to go to the, you know, the word, find it, all of those things. Now it's like you write on the computer, it does it for you. So it's scary, because I feel those are valuable lessons, you know, that my kids, it's like you don't take that time to double check your work,
yeah,
and make sure you do it, you know, correctly before you turn it in. It's already done for you.
And that's one thing that they talk about, is that parents are now doing their kids' schoolwork. You know, so
parents are doing their schoolwork.
Yeah, because it's so competitive to get into a great school. They want to make sure it's done right.
That's far.
You know, so they're on it. They're every little thing they do, because they got to get A's and, you know, be perfect. The parents, and it's adding stress. And so, A, it's not good for the kid, because they never really learn to do their own things, which it develops a dependent personality.
Yeah.
And then B, the parents are stressed because they're trying to live their life,
right,
you know, do things for themselves, but they can't because they're too busy focused on their kids doing things they probably shouldn't be doing.
But see, then that's where it's a challenge, because as a parent, you're hurting your kid.
Absolutely. But you think you're helping them because you're getting them into the best schools.
Yeah, that's correct.
So it's interesting. But we have a phone call.
All right.
And I've kept you on hold for quite a while because I didn't want to. Sorry about that.
It doesn't matter.
who do we have on the line with us?
I'm Gil.
Gil. Am I saying your name right?
Gil, wait a minute. I'm going to close the radio.
Okay. How do you spell your name?
Gil.
How do I spell
it? Just like, how do you spell it?
Yeah.
G-U-L.
Okay, cool. 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 Very cool. Cool. What do you have for us? What do you want to contribute?
Well, of course, about parenting.
Yeah.
I have also two girls, and they were... when we met you at Schiphol in the Netherlands, they were like, oh, Mom, they're awesome, and we want to meet them all the time. So I hope that we can meet you again, because unfortunately, my sister is getting married this Saturday, so I can come to the performance.
Aww.
Unfortunately.
Well, congratulations to your sister.
So I hope that I can meet you somewhere else.
There'll be another time.
I hope you come to the Netherlands again after this weekend.
We will.
The most important thing with the kids, I guess, is I couldn't finish my education because of my illness back in the days. So now I'm talking with my girls that you really need it. Mm-hmm. Without education, you can't do anything anymore in this world.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
So that's, yeah, so I'm talking all the time with the girls about it, and I'm asking them what they don't want to be, what they don't like to do. So, because if you ask a child, what do you want to be, what do you want to do, they always say like, well, I don't know, Mom, or I don't know that. So I first ask them, what don't you want to do, or what don't you want to be? And they said a couple of things, and now they're like, yeah, Mom, well, we like this and we like that, and I want to be this and I want to be that. And I think the most important thing is always talk with the kids.
Yes,
just
communication.
Have a good communication with the kids, because they're a lot of smarter and they feel and see a lot more things than that we
give
think they do.
Yeah, wonderful. I think you're right on, and I'm gonna add to, if your kids, because that's a very common thing, is your kids not knowing what they want to do. I as a young parent, I you know, you fall in the trap of wanting your kids to do certain things, but you cannot control that. The kids mm-hmm. have got to do what they want to do, and if your kids, exactly. you know, I've had teens, and if they're to the point where I don't know what I want to do in life, you got to just break it down yeah. for them and just say, well, if you could do anything tomorrow, anything in the world, what would you do? And let them go crazy with their ideas, and then try to scale it to a profession. Yeah. You know, I'd want to write a song. I'd want to, you know, perform on a stage in front of thousands of people. I'd want to go to space. You know, whatever their answer is, figure a way out where you can kind of make it a profession, because there's probably, well, there is a profession for it. Mm-hmm. So that's their way. They may not really yeah. realize what it is they want to do, but you can kind of, you know, help them out connecting the dots. Because the question in itself is kind of intimidating. Mm-hmm. You know, it's basically saying, you got to grow up very soon. You got to get serious. It's going to get real very quickly. What are you going to do? So, yeah. you know, that can be intimidating for a child. Well, Gull, thank you so much for your phone call. Thanks for contributing to the show.
Welcome. I love you guys.
We love you too.
Oh, and yes. I want to tell you something. The last time I called was like 6-7 weeks ago, because we went off on a vacation, and my dad was ill. He has cancer. And back then it was like they couldn't do anything for him, but it was so magical. The day after I talked with you guys, the doctor in the hospital told us that my dad could have a lightning therapy, and they did it. And now after 3 months, we have to wait to look if it's finished or something. So keep on with your energy, guys, because you bring miracles in this world. Really, I believe that when I have contact with you or something else with you guys, I'll only listen to your magic music. And it's just magical. It's so weird, but it really happens. When I have contact with you, it's always magical news what I'm getting. So thank you for your magic energy.
So sweet. That is so
I just
sweet.
Want to thank.
Oh, girl, thank you so much. That is so sweet of you. And we're just trying to, you know, connect. I think it's just connection. As long as we can connect with people, I think it really helps. And for your father, we're our prayers are with you and him and the rest of your family. And just stay strong, okay? It's a tough process, but
yeah, we will.
It's positive thoughts and just, you know,
keep
just
in touch with us too.
Yeah, and keep us informed how it's going, okay?
Okay, I will.
All right, Gold. Take care.
And keep your magic grow.
We will.
Bye. Love you guys.
Congrats to your sister,
you
too. Love you.
Okay,
so,
bye.
Bye-bye. So, great call. I'm going to take another call because the phones have been ringing, lightning up. So, who do we have on the line with us?
Hi, TJ. This is April.
What's up, April? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you and Tao?
We are doing well. It's a nice day. We're getting ready for tomorrow. Talking parenting.
Okay, and I want to wish you guys, I hope everything goes well with the concert, and hopefully you'll get there safe and sound.
Thank you, April.
So I'll be praying that you do.
Thank you
so much. And everything goes fine.
Thank you. What do you got for us, April?
Since you're talking about parenting, me being a single parent myself, you know, having two boys, I was thinking about what Tara was saying, you know, about his son when he had hurt his shin. I have always been the type, since I am mostly doing the parenting myself, because unfortunately their father is not around like I would like for him to be.
Mm-hmm.
So like when they ever got hurt, which they did a lot, I wouldn't jump and just, you know, grab them and say, oh, you know, are you okay? I try to let them get up and I'm like, okay, you're going to be fine. Don't pet them as much, because I want them at the same time to be strong, basically. Yeah. I don't want them to be weak, I guess you could say, because a lot of people say if you just pet them all the time whenever they get hurt or whatever, it makes them, you know, weak. I don't know. That's what I've heard. But
yeah.
I used to do that a lot. I try to, you know, make them strong by not just jumping and running and, oh, are you? I mean, I would be compassionate now. I still would make sure they're okay, but I would just run and start petting them right quick when they got hurt, because I wanted them to be strong,
yeah,
considering I was the only person around and they really didn't have that father figure like I wish they would have had. So that was something I was bad about doing as they were growing up.
But
at the same time, I was listening about education. That's my biggest thing with my two boys right now. I really try to push that for them to, you know, graduate from high school and continue on, you know, go to college, to go into the career that, you know, they're most interested in. Right now, my oldest son, he's in the middle of trying to figure out what he really wants to do.
Yeah.
But I continue to stay on him about, you know, going on to school, because, you know, you can't go wrong by
that's
going
right
on getting your degree. So
that's,
right, that's something I really try to stress as well.
You know what it
and
is?
And also, uh-huh.
You know, I was going to say, April, to me, what school does, because it sounds like you have an adult child, and it's a tough time,
yes,
for, you know, it's a tough time because they, like I said, it gets real, real quick for them. So they don't know necessarily, not all of them know exactly what they want to do. But to me, what school does,
yeah,
is it gives them time to find themselves and to land in life and to figure out what exactly it is that they want to do. They get to study different things. They get to see different type of people. They really get it kind of, it's like a pause button for them in a sense, you know, it slows things down. So that's,
yeah,
one reason. That's another big reason why I'm just big on school. It's a kind of a place where you can fail and figure things out, you know, because a lot of times what happens if a kid doesn't go to school straight away after high school and they fall behind and then, you know, they don't go to school for 2 or 3 years and the kids that they graduated high school with are now coming back with degrees. The kids that didn't go to school feel kind of like, I didn't do anything. I'm behind and now I'm worthless. And it can be a pretty bad slope, mm-hmm, if they have that mentality. So I'm big on school for that reason. Unless you have a kid that's 5 years old that knows exactly what they want to do and it doesn't really require the traditional college setting, I'm pretty strong on kind of pushing strongly your kids to go to college and to school, you know?
Yeah.
Can I ask you? Can I ask you a quick question,
uh-huh,
April? Because our phones are ringing, so I don't want to take too much time. But how do you deal with, especially being, I don't want to say single parent because I don't know you completely, but I know you said that their father's not around as much as you want them to be. How do you deal with the stresses of that? How do you find time for you? How do you make sure? I know you're a loving person. I know you care tremendously what happens in your kid's life, but how do you make sure you get? Like I said, how do you make sure the stressors of a parent doesn't overcome you?
Well, you know, it's something I had really started doing when they were little. I would take time, what I would call me time. If it's like in the morning, early in the morning before they wake up, or else at night when they go to bed, I have to have that time where I can sit and meditate, you know, read, whatever it takes for me to get my mind, you know, situated, to calm down, whatever's going, you know, what I'm going through that day. It helps me doing that, so
yeah,
I won't be as stressed when I'm dealing with them. But I notice if I don't have that time, it's like I have more stress, like,
yeah,
things get to me, you know, quicker. But I just try to find that time whenever I can.
Beautiful.
To have to myself, so I can, you know, think about things and make sure I'm making the right decisions.
I
so
love it.
To me, it helps me as well. And it also helps to talk to other, you know, single parents that's going through the same thing as I'm going through. So those are two things that really help me to get through,
yeah,
you know, being, you know, stressful times as a single parent.
That's great. Well, April, thank you so much for the call, and thanks for contributing. You added a lot, so thanks, thank April. You so much.
Okay, thank you, and I love you guys. And like I said, I hope you have a safe trip and everything goes well.
We love thanks you too, lot. April, and thanks for all the support. Okay. You take all right.
Care. Oh, you're welcome.
Take care.
You're
yourself. Welcome. Bye bye.
All right. Bye.
So I liked her meditation. I think that's mm-hmm. a big one, and I liked her connecting with other parents. You know, so for some advice and. You know, keeping it moving in a sense. It's good for you. You know, because parenting can get incredibly stressful. Incredibly stressful.
It's a lot.
And you have to remember that you matter, you know, before it starts to really mess with you and causing you mental disorders and other type of illnesses. The phones are going crazy, so we got to keep answering phone calls. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hello, it's Myra. I'm calling from the Netherlands.
How are you, Myra?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's a long time. I thought I'd wait a while.
Yeah, it's okay. How's everything going?
Yes, everything is going fine. So just preparing for Saturday, of course.
Yeah, cool. We're excited to be there. What do you got for us?
Me too.
What do you got for us for today's topic?
Yes, I want to say that I'm a single mother from the day that my son is born. He's now 13. Hmm. And it's not been easy because my son has autism.
Oh.
And so it took a while before they found out what was wrong. So it was like, it was not easy to raise him by my own because he was, I say, different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in the beginning, my mother helped a lot, but she passed away. So then all came to me.
First of all, you're like a hero. Do people tell you that you, first of all, I tip my hat off to you. You know, to be a single parent period is tough, and to have a child that's autistic and in a society that's probably not so open-minded to it, trust me, I can imagine. I don't know for sure, but I know how society can get. We're not too accommodating.
Yeah, it's very difficult because people don't understand him, and I can explain. Even my own father took a long, long time before he understands why he's reacting like he's reacting.
Yeah. So.
And now he has some training my English is not so well, mental health care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he has some medication now because he also had problems at school. Every day I came to school, the teacher was like, can you come because Julian did this, Julian did that, and even they didn't understand him.
Myra, how did you take care of yourself through all this? How did you not let this bring you completely down?
It was very difficult. I've been depressed. I also had help before because of that. Mm-hmm. And next to that, I did a lot of dancing. Yeah. And when it became too much for me, I just went out and danced. I went out dancing and just to clear my head.
Head.
I met my son met a boy. They became close friends, and that boy also had autism. Mm. So me and his mother, we became close friends. So that helped.
It's great. So to recap, it's kind of like what April said.
You're
clearing your head. That's number one. And number two, you connected with someone that can relate to you. You know, and those two things. That's very empowering and very impactful. So thank you for sharing that story, Myra, because, you know, I just think for all the parents out there, it can get lonely, you know, and there is pressure to be a perfect parent. So if your child does something wrong, I think sometimes we don't want to tell other people about it or we're ashamed by it. But, you know, it's part of life. It's part of growing. And like you said, it's very important to make sure you get your time. Whether it's dancing, whether it's running, whether it's, you know, playing basketball, whatever it is that gives you that release, you got to take care of yourself and do it. That way you could be the best parent for your child.
I forgot myself.
Yeah.
So that's why I took help.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, Mara, thank you so much for the phone call. Are we going to see you this weekend?
Yes, I'm there Saturday, and my son can't call because he's 18 plus, so he's like, oh, no, I want to see TJ.
Well, you know, next time.
Yes, but I hope so.
Make sure you get Julian.
But also children are allowed.
Yeah, well, next time, hopefully, we'll do something where children are allowed, so I apologize for that.
Yes.
But make sure
no problem. You can't help it. It's the rule, so...
Well, make sure you give Julian.
I will show him for him.
Yeah, make sure you give him a big hug from 3T, okay?
He will hear. He's standing next to me.
Awesome, Julian. We miss you, buddy. Be good, okay? And take care of your mama.
Yeah,
Julian, here. Can you say it again?
I said, Julian, we miss you, and it's very important to take care of your mama. She loves you, so make sure you always respect her and love her and take good care of her. Very important.
I will do that.
Oh, that's awesome. Great. Awesome. That's how you make 3T happy. So make sure you do that, okay?
Thank you.
Mara, thank you so much. And Julian, take care. Thanks for the phone call,
okay,
guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye. See you Saturday.
All righty. Hey. Bye-bye. Sweet.
Some amazing people
right?
in the world. Yeah.
And Sting, I know you go, I assume you go through this, where you kind of forget, not forget, but you forget how sweet they are, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's always like a pleasant reminder next every time we go out there to see all our fans, because you guys are
a lot of love
and it means a lot to us. I don't know if you realize how much that means to us to receive the love that you guys give us. So thank you. Okay, I found the book. This is a good one, Terrell, too. This, you're at a great age to read it because your kids aren't yet adults or teens, but it's called How to Raise an Adult. And it's written by a Stanford professor who's has kids of her own and gets to see all these kids coming in, the new generation of kids. But it's called How to Raise an Adult, Break Free of the Overparenting Trap, and Prepare Your Kid for Success. And I know we're running short on time already. Our phones were going crazy, and I couldn't answer everyone, so I apologize. But I want to read an excerpt from the book that I think is pretty empowering. We treat our kids like rare and precious botanical specimens and provide a deliberate, measured amount of care and feeding while running interference on all that might toughen and weather them. But humans need some degree of weathering in order to survive the larger challenges life will throw our way. Without experiencing the rougher spots of life, our kids become exquisite like orchids, yet are incapable, sometimes terribly incapable, of thriving in the real world on their own. Why did parenting change from preparing our kids for life to protecting them from life, which means they're not prepared to live life on their own? And why do these problems I'm writing about seem rooted in the middle and upper middle class? After all, parents care deeply about doing a good job, and if we're fortunate enough to be middle or upper middle class, we have the means, the time, and disposable income on our side to help us parent well. I think I read on too long, but I think you guys get the point. It's a very powerful thing that's basically don't baby your child. And when your kids make mistake or the pressures of life get to you, you got to step away. You got to have your time and connect with other people to help you get through it. Because parenting, especially if you want to be as committed and be the best parent possible, it can get so stressful to the point where it can lead to mental issues, right?
Yeah.
Did I say it on our behalf well, Terrell, or is there anything you want to add?
No, that was great.
You sure?
Out of that, the whole thing that I like that we've gone to protecting our children from life instead of preparing.
Yeah.
That's very interesting to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to look into that book.
Look into it. It's a good book, and it's called, you know what I love? She's really strong on rephrasing it from raising children to raising adults.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, you don't want to say I'm raising children. You want to say I'm raising adults.
Yeah.
Because you want it. Just that little switch will help you with the mindset of, you know, you can't control everything. You got to be there when they screw up. You got to be there when they do well. You know, you got to be there to pat them back. And you got to be able to say, I think you could have done this better. And, you know, look at the repercussions. That's what parenting is. And besides that, obviously a lot of love, but you cannot forget yourself in the whole thing.
Yeah, you have to take care of yourself. Me time is important because without you, you can't operate the way you need to. It's like charging the battery.
That's it.
You have to step away and plug it up sometimes.
That's it. Meditation is something I keep saying I want to do. Have you ever done that, Daryl?
Meditation? Yeah.
I got to get into that. But that's all the time we have. If you're just discovering our show.
I know.
And our phone's still ringing. So all the people that are calling, I apologize. Maybe we'll have to do a second version of this. And we didn't even get to read any tweets. So we kind of, I guess I guess he's a bit more valuable than I always give him credit for. But if you're just discovering our show and want to learn more about our foundation, please make sure to go to our website, www.ddjf.org. We kind of ventured a bit from, you know, the overall usual things we talk about with DDJF, but I wanted to make sure, and Terrell agreed, that we make sure we give respect to parenting and make sure it doesn't lead into to more serious issues, not only for yourself, but that can trickle to your whole family. Mm-hmm. So make sure you take care of yourself. Make sure you unplug. Make sure you connect with people also that are going through similar things. I really think that's the important thing on life. And stay positive. Okay, everything will be okay. And let your kid. What did you take away from this, Terrell?
Yeah, we've gone to protecting our kids from life instead of preparing.
Okay, love it. So
I didn't write it.
Hey, I like the way you say it. So that's it for today, though. We hope you guys enjoyed our show. And we love you and miss you, and we'll see you next week after our show this weekend. It's going to be fun. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.